Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show, and we are broadcasting from Youngtown, Arizona, the home and the offices of Feeding Arizona, which is a food bank opportunity for people to get involved and help their community, in not only the community of the Northwest Valley of Phoenix Market, but also the entire state of Arizona through Feeding Arizona, and also the Valley View, the Valley View Community Food Bank, which is taking the lead actually anymore in food distribution to the Northwest Valley of Maricopa County here in Phoenix. So we're proud to be here and proud to be affiliated with those folks. They do nothing but good work. We're going to be getting to our guest in just a minute, but before I do, I want to remind our listeners that the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in. In addition to this radio program, we publish many books and ebooks, and our ebook authors have their own shows here on the Boomer and the Babe Network right here on Blog Talk. We invite you to listen to those as well. We produce videos, promotional products, and consult for small businesses. We are truly a multifaceted, multimedia marketing company, and you can contact us via our website at boomerandthebabe.com. That's boomerandthebabe.com. And I'm Pete Peters, and it seems to be the habit lately. Deborah has been off, not off, but certainly not doing the show with me. She's been involved in several projects that are high priority projects with us, as is this radio show. So we're multitasking in the sense that we're both doing different things. So we're doing different things together, I guess you could say. She's off working on her women's projects for the Women's Information Network, which is a national, international project. And she's going to be telling us more about that here in the not-too-distant future. In the interim, you have me and our guest. Our guest is Mr. William Neggendorth. He says we can call him Bill. He's got an extensive background in working with baby boomers, helping baby boomers find their best work, working with baby boomers to keep themselves, I guess you can say, on track. He's written books. He's a speaker. And Bill, welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show.
Thank you. Appreciate the invitation.
We're glad to have you here. If Deborah were here, Bill, what she would do is she would ask you, rather than us going through a long bio, which is just unbelievable, all the things you've done, she'd ask you for your two-minute movie. And your two-minute movie is a thumbnail sketch about yourself, you telling us, go back as far as you want, bring yourself up through to about today, in about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, just relax and give us your background.
Thank you. After 9 years of research with dealing with 1,000 baby boomers nationwide and interviewing more than 300 hiring managers, I realized that the traditional resume-based hiring system built in the 1950s didn't work for baby boomers. So 2 years ago, with a nationwide team of advisors, we started building the Boomer Best Work Breakthrough System, a step-by-step process for a boomer to bridge from their current work situation, whatever that may be, to their Boomer Best Work. Then last year, we published a book, Boomer Breakthrough, which is the first of an 8-book Boomer Best Work series, which outlines the exact steps a boomer takes to get their boomer best work. And then 2 weeks ago, the UnitedBoomersOfAmerica.com website went live and started a community of unemployed, underemployed, and miserably employed baby boomers, all of them helping each other find their boomer best work. Now, that brings us to today. We like I said, we only had the website for a couple of weeks, and so we only have about 800 members at this time. but they're all working together with the purpose of taking whatever resources are available in the entire Boomer community, all those members contributing to the other members, and whether that, I just had a situation this morning where somebody's moving to one state, and there's somebody in that state who wants to move into a very close geography to where they're coming from, and they're now actually talking to each other about renting their house to each other on a temporary basis and let their lives stabilize in their new geographies. So there are so many ways that it works to help each other that, you know, that just illustrates what having a community who is interested in supporting, in motivating, in caring, just really, from my perspective, giving hope to people who may have thought a short time ago they didn't have a whole lot of hope, and certainly giving them the message that they no longer ever need to feel that they're alone. And that's where we are right now.
Well, it certainly can't be the case where a baby boomer, a member of the boomer cohort, as we call it, can find themselves out there floundering around or flopping around like a fish on dry land when they've lost a job or they've been downsized by means of downsizing, or if the company in today's economy is gone belly up, and they're out there just trying to figure out, where did my 401k go? What am I going to do with all my retirement plans, if they had retirement plans, which, of course, we both know boomers don't always have retirement plans. But it's nice to know that there is an organization there that any boomer can go to and have it be concentrated on our demographic, our age group. Because it really does make a difference, doesn't it?
Very, very specifically, because when I was interviewing the actual numbers, 984 baby boomers that I actually talked to, and when I was talking to them, I found that the overwhelming problem that was very, very obvious and evident was that these boomers had a negative view of themselves. When I talked to the 300-plus hiring managers, one of the questions that was part of the interview was, how do you feel about age? I am sitting in front of you, Mr. or Mrs. Hiring Manager, representing a group who is of a specific age, the baby boomer generation, and how do you feel about hiring them? Out of 303 hiring managers, I only found two who expressed even a shred of concern about age. The number one point that those hiring managers made with me, the number one negative, the number one aggravation that they have when they are meeting with baby boomers, and remember, this is 301 out of 303 are all agreeing. The number one point is the attitude that those baby boomers have about themselves. And I was absolutely blown away by that because I was expecting something else. And as we know, people who are of a baby boom age profile, they have experience. They've been around. They have some perspective, what I like to call wisdom, and that's born of being exposed to a lot of things and taking in a lot of information that we convert to knowledge, and then we look at that and we have perspective. And what happens, baby boomers tell me this, that what happens is when they get into that face-to-face meeting with a hiring manager, their fears overwhelm their logic. And therefore, they're in a situation where they say, oh, I don't know how this is going to come out. I'm sure that they're going to notice that I'm not perfect in physical appearance or in stature or my speeches. I mean, we're so critical about ourselves that the hiring managers just get enormously frustrated with that whole process. And they, all 303 of the hiring managers that I talked to so far, told me the existing hiring system, they don't like it at all. They would rather have a different system. And obviously they were speaking confidentially to me because their companies are using the traditional hiring system. This is the system that boomers, by the way we were taught by our parents, normally look at the hiring process. And talking to these hiring managers, they were saying to me, Bill, I don't like this. If I could change it, I would go to a different system. And so in talking to boomers who said the hiring system doesn't work, talking to hiring managers who said the hiring system doesn't work, I said to them, what do you think would work? I investigated that, as I said, over a period of 9 years, and I asked the hiring managers, if you could create the ideal situation for you, how would it look? And they said a remarkably consistent approach, and so that is how we built the Boomer Best Work Breakthrough System, because the hiring manager said, this is what we want. So this is how we get to a position today where when boomers come to us and say, Bill, I have sent out, and I have clients who've sent out more than 1,000 resumes, and they say...
That's an amazing number to think that somebody...
Oh, absolutely. And that, they say to me, I have zero response. And what happens...
That in and of itself has to say something about that individual from a hiring standpoint, that they are willing to send out 1,000 resumes or 500 resumes or 150 resumes. That says something about them as an individual and some of the things that they have to offer as a prospective employee, I would think.
Well, it certainly says something about, and you might agree because of your experience with everything that you're doing, you know, your wonderful work to help boomers, that when you go talk to people, don't you find that they believe that there is a system in place for a person to gain employment, and what we need to do is a better job of using the existing system? Would you consider that the in-place logic?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably there. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, then from my perspective, when that was certainly when I began in 2000 doing the work that I was doing, my dad was a marvelous man who worked 42 years in what they used to call personnel. Then they called it human resources, and then they called it labor relations. So they took the personal part away and just dealt with it as a corporate kind of function. But my dad was in this for 42 years, and he was saying to me on his deathbed, he looked up and he said, I didn't prepare you for the world of today. I prepared you for the world of the 50s and the 60s. And I feel terrible about that. What we're doing at United Boomers of America is we are trying to provide a perspective to boomers who come to us and are interested in finding out how can it work for me today, no matter what their parents, their teachers, their instructors, their coaches, no matter what they may have told them as they grew up, they find themselves in a world since 1995 or 96, depending on which date you use for the internet, a world that has taken a quantum shift, and they need updating in their mentality, in their information, in their systems and tools, so that they can succeed in today's world. And so that is why we went to the hiring managers and said, what do you want boomers to do? If a boomer walked into you and did for you in front of you exactly what you wanted, would you be impressed? Would that make you feel good about the boomer? And they responded, of course it would. So I said to them, what would you like him to do? And this is the new approach that actually I personally believe, and will be writing a lot more about this in the book series, that we went from the industrial age to what is commonly referred to as the information age. I believe now that because of the internet, boomers are bombarded with so much information. I mean, I have 500 cable channels on TV, and I hardly watch TV at all. But they have to fill those channel content demands every day. So there's all this information bombarding us. As a matter of fact, I found it intriguing that there is a daily newspaper on the internet that came out with a headline this morning, and it said that the young lady in Italy had been found guilty.
My gosh.
And so you see, in their system, the way they were using their system, it said you have to have your paper's content into us by a certain time, and they took a gamble because they had to fill the space. And so they printed this whole thing, a front-page article, that she was found guilty, and they even went to the extent of talking about the impact it had on people in the courtroom, the attorneys. And, I mean, it was a very fleshed-out article. And so this demand for information is now, in my opinion, going to force another revolution, and we're going to move from the information age into what I call the relationship age. And where we have taken the humanity, taken the personnel out of human resources, I believe that in the hiring process and in employment and in all of that related stuff around work, that in the next 5 or 10 years, we're going to see a move that is going to be based totally, and obviously not 100%, but maybe 80, 90% on relationships. And this is why, in my opinion, you see articles in Inc. magazine about a young lady who was a former recruiter for Citigroup, and her number one line in her article is, screening job candidates is a huge waste of time. That's a pretty powerful
Amazing.
Statement.
Yes, it is.
Pretty powerful statement. Another thing, Sue McPherson, who's the director of strategic accounts at PR Newswire, she was laid off, or what was the term you used, downsized or right-sized?
There's
a million terms.
Yeah,
a million terms. But the bottom line is that she was unemployed. And so what did she do? She went directly to companies and said, I have a skill package. Would you be interested in hiring me as a consultant? One of the companies that she went to personally said, sure, it was a local food company to where she lived, but you have to work in the kitchen to learn about us so that you can consult to us. So for a month, she was, this is her quote in the magazine, I was knee-deep in coleslaw and I was mortified.
I tell you, sometimes the logic just defies you. There's another thing. Let me just bring this up now because we're
you bet.
Waltzing around all this stuff. We as a very small business, basically Deborah and myself, have needs for some people to work for us. We do not have a lot of available cash that we can pay people. But we do need to have some people that can go out and sell some of our projects and our products and so on and so forth. And we pay a very substantial commission on a straight commission basis.
Yep.
And I am absolutely amazed with the percentage of unemployment, especially here in Arizona, with this number of people that are unemployed, that they don't want to work for a commission because they are just holding out for that salaried position. And it just baffles me that people are of that mindset. And I want to know from you, because you are the expert here, how many of that, or what kind of mindset does the baby boomer have that you're finding with regard to finding new work? What are they willing to do or not do?
Well, that is interesting that you bring that up, because I have just recently gone through a study from Cornell. It was a very extensive study about work motivators, and it was done in July. So this is current, and a lot of stuff is really old, and as you know, anything pre this crash or recession or whatever term you know people are most comfortable with, this recent economic upheaval, really, it's pretty invalid. You really need some current information. And so this study from Cornell was fascinating, because what they said was people are making decisions every day regarding opportunity. And so they're making what they called subjective benefit decisions. And they were interested in why. What are the motivators that people now in 2011 were using to make regarding work? And it was absolutely fascinating, because what they found, and this I'm gonna quote here: employees value acknowledgement and responsibility and are prepared to leave jobs that don't provide these things, even jobs that provide a comfortable salary, and even in a recession. Well, needless to say, that took my breath away. And going on, more people are willing to sacrifice happiness to have a job they perceive is important, gives them higher social status, or could boost happiness within their families. Now, what are the key words in those phrases? Important, social status, and family happiness. That means, and boy, did you punch a button in my life. I right now have 7 employment opportunities, not all that dissimilar from yours, that actually involve opportunities for somebody to actually partner with me and actually be part of our company structure. And I have had those out in the sphere for almost 2 months. I have received 0 inquiries. When I contacted some of my nationwide advisors about that, they said, well, Bill, you didn't put a salary down.
Yep.
And hearing you say those words, I realized that the core motivator going forward is definitely going to be, as you may or may not have heard, that United Boomers of America has believes in and has created this idea of boomer best work. And I get asked by a lot of people, well, Bill, what's my boomer best work? And I respond, well, that's the work activity that not only supports you, but it also brings you joy and fulfillment. I get a lot of kickback on that from boomers saying to me, well, I don't think of work in terms of joy and fulfillment. It supports my family. And
right.
Some of that comes back to this whole point that the Cornell study was making about if you have an important job, a job that gives you higher social status. That makes your family feel good because a member of their family has important work and has a higher social status. That is very, would you agree that that is very 50s and early 60s thinking?
No, absolutely. And I do agree with that. And it's a case of what I hear is, yes, that's all well and good, but it doesn't put any food on the table.
Well, it's not 2011.
That's right.
When I talk to boomers who, and I just had somebody call me on the phone who was extremely agitated and wanted to know if I would help them sue a place where they had just applied for a position, and I said, well, what's up? Oh, well, they're discriminating against me because I'm senior, I'm a boomer, and I think it's horrible the way that they're treating me. And I said to them, well, is it possible that it was something else? And their response was, well, it can't be anything else. Now, companies remove people all the time. And a lot of boomers don't understand that, on average, every year, the Department of Labor has statistics that show that of all the employed workers in America, and so if we say, just for conversation, 15% of the American workforce is unemployed, because we know that the 9% number is really low. It's not the real number.
Right.
So let's say for conversation purposes we say 15%. That means that 85% of the people are working.
Amen. You don't know how many times I say that. 15% unemployment means 85% are working. Absolutely.
Right. So
I'm all over that.
Therefore, the Department of Labor says of those 85% who are working, which represents, you know, like almost 200 million people out there working, what that means then is that according to Department of Labor statistics, 4% of those positions among that big workforce turn over every year. And when you think about that, then every boomer who says to themselves, looking in the mirror, well, there's no sense, you know, working hard today because, quote, unquote, there are no jobs out there. And I've been told that ad nauseum. Yes, there are, because positions are turning over from illness. They're turning over for company refocusing. They're turning over for 100 different reasons every year.
It's normal life for that.
Absolutely.
85%.
Absolutely.
It's normal life. Nothing has changed for that 85%. Now, here's another thing that I notice, and I sit at home with Deborah and I, and every now and then my 88-year-old mother joins us watching a football game or a baseball game. And she will look at that thing and she'll say, look at all those people. And she says, and I thought it was so bad out there with the economy. And I say, 15% unemployment means 85% employment. Those people are still buying tickets. They are packing stadiums. Life goes on for the 85%.
Well, to even further, to your point and full support of your point here, we have two casinos within an hour's drive of where I live here in Rhode Island. And if you look in the newspaper each month, they print how much money is lost in the casino. It's called the drop. And on a monthly basis in each casino, there's more than $20 million in the drop. And when you think about it, if it were as bad as the people who are whining, if it was as bad as they portray, we wouldn't have all that happening in casinos. people would be much more frightened about the future. Therefore, what we have is we have one view of the 85%, and we have another view of the 15. But the 15% who have the negative view really believe that they understand reality, no matter how different it is from the view that the 85% have. And they carry that with them into all their meetings with hiring managers. They project that every time they meet somebody. In fact, they even do something that I really would love somebody to explain to me. They seek out a group of other unemployed people who have negative views, and they get together and sort of whine to each other.
They commiserate.
Yeah, commiserate, but instead of calling it a pity party, they call it networking.
Bill, you don't know how much you and I are on the same page here. You just, because we just met through this conversation and through our prep work, but you just don't know. I have written a blog about networking and how people network, and that becomes their little social group that is negative, 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 and they feed off of each other. It's like piranha. They all gather around the corpse of the whatever the heck it is, and they just, it's like a, what do they call it, a fish boil, you know, and it just keep going and going and going, and it's kind of like, enough already, stop it, just stop it. You know, they stand up in front of the group, they give their 30-second spiel, and they say, in this down economy, because of the way things are, I mean, you could think of all the things that they say, and it's, then why the devil are you in business for yourself? Why the devil are you doing this if it's so miserable for you? I mean, there's
not only that, people will drive an hour to get together with this socially supportive group. In other words, they're supporting each other's negative attitudes.
Absolutely.
And then drive an hour home and then tell people around them that they were networking as if they were doing something to resolve their situation.
They stew on their way to their meeting. They stew with each other at their meeting, and they stew all the way home. But by the time they get home, it's give me a bonbon. I'm going to the couch.
Driving home, they're saying, see, my negative attitude was right all along because all of those people just validated my negative attitude.
I know. I know.
It's very sad. Now, there is another side to this coin, and in all fairness to the people who do that, many, many of them really genuinely in their heart of hearts believe that this is the only option. And this is born from 20, 30, 40 years ago being told there is a system in place. In fact, there is an enormous business on the internet and face-to-face on retail, an enormous business of training and teaching boomers how to use the existing system better. And I would characterize this, the best example is how to improve your resume.
Right.
Now, I have personally hired more than 1,000 people in my corporate life before I, got into my own business. And in that life, I would use the system because big businesses like big systems, and so they use the system. So we would post, we would print in newspapers, and now they use job posts on Monster Board or job boards in the internet. Bottom line is, you would post something, and the average today, and this is data from within the last 30 days, the average number of resumes in response to a posted job is 600. Now, an average resume is 2 pages, so a cover letter and 2 pages is 3 pages times 600. That's almost 2,000 sheets of paper. There's 500 sheets of paper in a ream, so that's a stack of papers on somebody's desk 4 reams high.
I'm not reading it.
This is why you find the young lady that I referenced earlier saying screening job candidates is a huge waste of time.
Absolutely. I can see where, from that standpoint, she would come to that conclusion.
I talked to a banker here in my local region, and he had 2 positions available earlier this year for what I used to call a secretary, and now they call them like administrative assistants, or they call them customer service specialists, or, you know, lots of different titles. But basically, they're doing, you know, customer interface, customer service kinds of work. He had 2 jobs, both paying $23,500, something like that. He put an advertisement into a job board that you may be familiar with called Craigslist.
Yes.
And this was on a Thursday late in the afternoon. By close of business on Friday, he asked for electronic resumes be emailed into them.
Right.
By close of business on Friday, he had 500. By Monday at noon, he had 1,100. And they were still coming in 3 weeks later. Now,
my question then would be, how do you go through those?
Well, let me give you this as a case study.
Okay.
So I talked to him then. I knew that he was putting the positions into Craigslist. And then I talked to him 2 weeks later. So actually, it was like I talked to him on a Monday. He put it in on Thursday. I talked to him then a week from the Monday when he reached 1,100. I said, have you filled the positions? Have you made your decision? Have you made your choice? And he said, yes, I filled both positions. I asked him, how long did it take you to go through the stack? He said, I didn't look at one. I said, well, then how did you fill the 2 positions? He said one young lady that worked with him in the bank and one young lady at church had referred somebody to him and they were literally a personal advocate for the applicant with this individual, and he ended up hiring the 2 referrals. Now, this gets back to what we were talking about when I was talking about Sue McPherson, and she didn't send out any resumes. She was unemployed, and she went one-on-one directly to the company, knew exactly the benefit that she could deliver to them, and talking to the hiring manager that could benefit from those skills, she said to them, would you hire me only as a consultant? Do a project. You can pay me for the project. If you like my work, that may grow into something. But the bottom line is, I just want to connect with you, and I believe you could benefit from my skills and talents. Okay, it ended up knee-deep in coleslaw. But how did that turn out? She was making a point of letting them know her accomplishments. While she was doing that, she had previous connections in the workplace. Now, she was working at a food company, but she had friends, she had associates, contacts. This is the real networking, or what we call in United Boomers of America, connected conversations. What was she doing? She was keeping her contacts up to date. She was sending them little gifts on special occasions for them. She was sending them news clippings she thought they may benefit from. Basically, she was staying, to use our term, connected. Now, she wasn't going to meetings, networking meetings. She was dealing one-on-one with somebody who her skills, talents, her experience, the things that she brings, the benefits that she can deliver, she was connecting to a person who could benefit from them. She found people that she could actually help with what she had to offer. She was at the food company for less than a year before one of those people called and offered her a consulting project at another company, and she said, I can go to work at this other company working out of coleslaw, or I can stay here in coleslaw. I'll try the other thing. She went to the other place, and she went there actually in 2001. The consulting project became a full-time job, and now she's a director of the largest accounts at that company. How did she get that opportunity? It was not even ever a job. In other words, it was nothing that was advertised. It was nothing that was on a corporate chart. It was a project that they had something that needed to be done, but they knew that she could benefit them immediately. They weren't making a long-term commitment. It was kind of a tryout. But it was effective because it was a good match for her skills and talents. This is why when we talk to boomers and we say to boomers, you may hear from somebody else that getting employment is a numbers game. In other words, if you send out 20 resumes and you get no response, then send out 50. And if you get no response, then send out 100. Because it's a numbers game, and sooner or later you're going to hit on the one that resonates. And this is an old wives' tale, kind of a fable from back in the 1960s. It doesn't work today because a lot of the opportunities that come today are created, and this is what hiring managers tell me. How do these opportunities get created? They say, Bill, I have many dreams. I have many things I would like to do. I have many projects that I would like to get going in the company. But the company will not approve in our budget me hiring a full-time employee. However, if I had an option, if I knew about a resource that was available to work on a project, and they were a good fit with me, and you can interpret that to mean that the hiring manager was saying that they are really committed to helping me achieve my dream. Does that make sense?
Right, right.
Of course.
In other words, this guy wants to get ahead, and he wants to make a mark, and he's looking for somebody to help him make that mark.
Absolutely. So what we're talking about here is not a focus on getting employment for the boomer. What we're talking about is a focus on the boomer delivering such a benefit to the hiring manager that the hiring manager says, I want you to keep working for me.
This is interesting because I'm telling you, I know you're right on the money here, because there's a gentleman that we know and deal with. He's a client of ours, and he's also become a friend of ours. He does all number of things. He owns a country club here in Sun City. And one of his things, talks, is when you're looking for work, what you have to demonstrate to the hiring manager or whoever the person is that's hiring is that how you are going to pay for yourself when you work there. In other words, I'm going to come in, I can do this job for you, and you're going to find that I will pay my for myself because it will result in X, Y, and Z, and therefore I will be of no cost to you, but you will look good. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
This is in our material in the Boomer Breakthrough System. This is described in detail in what we call a Boomer Benefit Report. What hiring managers told us was mentally, when they are having a meeting with an applicant, in their mind, they draw on a piece of paper, again, in their mind, a T. And on one side, on one half, they put, this is what this individual is going to do for me in the next 90 days. On the other side, they put, this is what I am going to do for them in the next 90 days, and this is all the compensation and benefits issues. So this is what they have in their mind when you walk up and you greet them, and they already have, this is where their head is. They do not have their head in, oh, that's a blue suit. They do not have their head in, oh, the teeth isn't perfect. They don't have their head in, oh, the hair is gray or black or brown or red or, you know, whatever that may be. I mean, you have to keep in mind, you could find a hiring manager that might find blondes offensive or redheads offensive, or somebody who came in with green hair offensive. So the fact that somebody has silver hair means nothing, absolutely nothing. I started getting gray hair in high school. What did that mean? Nothing.
It meant you had gray hair in high school.
I mean, that's all. But what the hiring manager, where their head really is that in their mind, and this is where I call their kind of their dreamscape, they're saying, on the left-hand side, this is what I hope somebody could do for me. This is kind of like their project list, their little dream list. And they're hoping that very, very quickly, sooner the better, applicant, you will punch one of those buttons on the left-hand side. Sooner the better. On the right-hand side, they have across from that. So let's say that one of those items was to come up with a new marketing idea to sell to boomers. And on the right-hand side, they said, for that marketing idea as a project, I'd pay $10,000. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to pay a pension, 401k match, insurance, salary. I'm not going to pay any of that stuff. Their head is in, this is a cost, an incremental cost over the next 90 days to get this benefit. Now, let's flip the room around and go into the mind of the applicant. This boomer walks through the door, and what is their mind focused on? Their mind is focused on, sell me. Their mind is focused on, I hope I can get them to like me, because if they like me a little, then maybe I can get them to like me a lot, and if I can get them to like me a lot, then maybe I can get them to hire me. This is all about me on this side of the table. On the other side is the same humanity. And the boomer doesn't go in with a mindset of the person on the other side is all about me. Therefore, they don't want to hear, I'm wonderful, I'm special. They don't want to hear, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. They don't want to hear any I's. What they want to hear, and I have actually, when you read about the Boomer Benefit Report on our website, you will find there, it actually describes what the hiring managers said. and that is, in 90 seconds, they want you to tell them, so that's very few sentences, how you will benefit them, not how you will benefit yourself. And I have been in so many interview situations, and I have had people sit in front of me and go, well, how much does this job pay? What are you going to do for me? I mean, you know, does this come with a vacation right away? I mean, their head is all in themselves. And this is why in our communication to boomers, we say to boomers, stop telling hiring managers not to hire you.
It's very easy to see how it is, the way you've been explaining it, that the boomers can have a preconceived notion of what they are, what they're worth, and what they are entitled to. And in reality, in this circumstance that we have find ourselves in today, when hiring managers are always having this list of, this is my wish list, and boy, I wish I could find somebody to do that for me that would make me look good. Because really, that's basically, in my opinion, that's kind of where it is.
Amen.
That the boomers have to completely restructure their thought process.
We are very, very emphatic in the Breakthrough System that the first thing that you need to do is get your head on straight.
Mm-hmm.
That this is not all about you. It's all about them. And if you don't know what their buttons are, if you don't know what their needs are, if you're going in to meet with somebody and in your head you think you're going in to meet with them about a job, don't go. You are dead wrong.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you this. It seems to me, and this is what I seem to recall, in my days when I was working for somebody else and not myself, which has been a long, long time ago, I would go looking for a job, just like you're describing, and I would look and I would see, but I still had to be able to tell them what I could do for them, whatever that was. They maybe didn't like it, they didn't like me, whatever the case might be, it doesn't matter, but I still had to tell them what I could do for them. That at some point that switched, and the applicant walked in with a little bit of a different attitude, because they were, they were on top of the world, and they were the ones that were in demand, because people were always looking for good people.
In the 90s, there was a quantum shift in the dynamic.
Yes. So they would
waltz
right in.
But that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's an excellent point. That's exactly where I was going. It was the case where the guy would, or woman would walk in and say, okay, this is what I want. This is what you need to get or do to get me. And they would be there working. And then all of a sudden, if they weren't getting that anymore and somebody down the road was giving it to their prospects or their employees, they would go down there and say, you've got what I want. Here I am. This is what I do. And the shift did take place. There's no doubt.
Absolutely, absolutely. A key aspect of this whole process is this whole idea of helping. And when people go in with this job focus, they are talking about their perception of a certain kind of a box. And they have tasks in this box, and I'm going to go in and show them that I can do all the tasks. What that does is that sells themselves so short, they actually are going in underselling their opportunity to deliver benefits. Because if somebody comes in to me as a hiring manager and tries to sell me on giving them that job, I am telling the hiring manager not to consider me for other jobs. And if I, as a hiring manager, would look at that applicant and say, you know, you may be in this room focused on job A, but I'm over here and I can see you being much more valuable over here because the company, and remember, the whole workforce may not be aware of the company's new stuff, but you may be able to get to work on the new stuff because you don't have a liability that the people in-house have, and that is sharing stories among other employees. They may feel that the new applicant can keep their mouth shut, and so they would much rather hire you for the special project. But if you go in saying, no, just think of me in terms of job A, then you cut yourself off from much of the opportunity that exists every day out in the workforce.
And I've got an example of similar to that that happened to me personally. Years ago, and it was a good number of years ago, but I was working here in Arizona in the newspaper industry. A friend of mine told me about an organization that he had just left where we both worked to go as the director of marketing and advertising for the Phoenix Business Journal. And he said they were looking for somebody in that same position to be in Los Angeles to be the director of advertising and marketing for the Los Angeles Business Journal. He says, I've given them your name. You need to go talk to them. So I went and talked to them. And I'm talking with the hiring manager, the general manager for the area, and struck up a nice rapport. And all kinds of things were going on as far as conversation and when I could move and if I were to be doing this, if I were to be doing that. And the next thing you know, he gets a phone call. And his phone call, he had to take it. He came back into the room and he said to me, he says, Pete, we have an immediate opening for the San Diego Business Journal. Would you be interested in going to San Diego as the director of advertising and marketing? And I said, huh? Am I going right from here? Am I getting on the train and going down to San Diego? How soon do you want me to start? He said, I want you to be there next week. And it was done, just like that. And I said, wow, how slick is this, huh? So, but that's exactly what I think you're talking about. You cannot close yourself off and say, well, I want Los Angeles and Los Angeles only because that's a major metropolitan city. I'll take the secondary market for the same kind of money with a heck of a lot less responsibility, nicer climate, nicer people. Why wouldn't I go to San Diego and still be able to make my mark in the company?
But that is all when you focus on I can deliver a huge amount of benefit. How can you best use this to achieve your goals?
Right.
To focus on them.
Right. I've got the United Boomers of America website up, and I would be remiss if I didn't touch on this aspect that I'm looking at on the site right now. It looks like I'm on the I don't know which page this is. But at any rate, it says United Boomers of America, and it says, the marketplace is flooded with trainers, career consultants, and coaches who sell their solutions to everyone, yet know little about the unique psychology behind boomer self-motivated achievement. Since UBA is only for boomers, to boomers, and by boomers, we understand that no amount of training, pleading, or force can make a boomer live up to somebody else's expectations. By getting rid of energy-draining stress generated by other people's unrealistic demands, you will discover the energy to get your boomer's best work. By refocusing on your boomer's best work, you will benefit immediately by enjoying the freedom when you escape from the old stereotypes imposed by others. And to that, I say absolutely amen. Because that is something that Deborah and I have been saying for years. Nobody knows a boomer like a boomer. And it's not only just as it relates to work, but nobody knows what it's like to be a caregiver for your parent except a boomer who's being a caregiver for their parent. Nobody knows what it's like to take in your grandchildren and your children because they have had some hard times except a boomer because they know how to deal with it. And the boomers, we do need to stick together in all areas, including employment. What say you, Bill Neggendorf?
Well, I wrote that, so it's my credo. I am so tired of what I have in front of me, which is a website where they, it's a well-known website about boomer topics by a very famous individual. And in the website, they have a category called Issues for Work and Retirement. When you go there, the beginning of it is about retirement planning. That's a section, number one. The section two is about work. And what it talks about, it says, this is the opening sentence, of more immediate concern for boomers is the issue of age bias reducing employment opportunities. That's the open. I am tired of boomers bad-mouthing boomers. I'm tired of the negativity. I am tired of people not rising up and saying, listen, we created more innovation. We created more progress in the history of the United States than any other generation. Having come through so many innovative stages in life, we will deal with this stage in life, but somebody has to step up and say to boomers, give yourself permission to be proud to be a boomer. And United Boomers of America is going to work that way every day.
Let me just ask you a question about the website and the author. Are the initials MT?
Pardon me.
Are the author's initials MT?
For of the author of what?
Of that article, that website. The developer of the website.
Oh, you were questioning the one that I was on.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Oh no, no, they're not.
Oh.
And
oh, okay.
And the person who does the website is worldwide famous. Huge, famous, you know, really looked to as a real thought leader, an influencer, and putting out this negativity to me is to me it's an insult.
Well, it's I think there's a lot of that negativity stuff going on, and it's something that it's got to be overcome. There's just absolutely nothing about it. It's got
to
be overcome.
Absolutely. We have to balance that. We have to say to people, you have another choice. You can give yourself permission to enjoy being a boomer.
Well, you know, there's so much stuff. We're down to the end of our somewhat allotted time, and we can go longer, but it's we're past our hour that we knew we were going to do. But we're going to have to do this again, and there's so much that we haven't discussed. We haven't really discussed the options of boomers going into business for themselves in deference to working for somebody. And that's really a different kind of a change, and there's a lot of things that are involved there as to whether or not a boomer thinks that they can do that because they're so set in their ways, possibly, of I've always worked for somebody else. I've always been on somebody else's structure. And they have to create their own. And I think that is a big, huge discussion that we can have as well.
Well, even before that, that is a huge area. That would be, you know, probably more than just 1 hour. But even before that, gets to exactly what you were talking about, where you said a boomer may wonder, can I do that? I would say one step before that, the boomer may wonder, should I do that? And that gets back to this imposed correct behavior that comes from our teachers, our parents, our families, our peers, all of these outside influences that historically boomers have used to validate their decisions, and they really, to survive in today's world, like I said, they really need to give themselves permission to be themselves.
They have
to
watch
somebody else's version of them, not to try and satisfy somebody else's demands or stereotype. They really need to look inside themselves and say, this is me. This is why I was put on the face of the earth. And this is what I really want to do. Now, who can I get to help me make a living doing that? And that's what United Boomers of America is going to be there to help people once they determine what would get them jumping out of bed in the morning. Then they say, but I don't know how to write books and publish books. I don't know how to own my own business. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. That doesn't mean that you can't do it. That just means you don't have the information yet.
Well, let me tell you, that is some of the things that we do. We, as the Boomer, the Babe, we do many of those things. And believe me, we never knew how to do it until we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to, and it comes down to all those other influences you mentioned. But the bottom line to my way of thinking is it's your self-speak. It's
mm-hmm.
what you tell yourself. And everything else, we're all products of our environment. We're all products of every relationship we've ever had in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent. But it still comes down to your self-speak. And no one can control it but yourself. And you have to be able to take control, shake yourself at the shoulders and say, I got to get rid of this stuff and I got to move on. And I think that's really kind of where that ends up. And you and I are going to have that conversation again on the radio. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we believe that every day you get up, you walk into wherever your mirror is, you look in the mirror, and you decide whether or not you're going to turn an ordinary day into an extraordinary life. Every day you make that decision.
Yep, that's absolutely the case. Well, you've given us so much information. It's just unbelievable. And I know there's so much more on your websites, and you have so much more to offer baby boomers involved in work and looking for work and all different aspects of everything that you do. How can people get hold of you, Bill?
Well, as you said, there is an enormous amount of resource at www.unitedboomersofamerica.com. Hello?
Yes, okay. I'm here.
Yeah. And so that's the easiest way to you can get some stuff there that is available to the public. And specifically, one of the things I'm hearing from boomers that they appreciate the most is that on the website we have an emergency room. And when you go to the emergency room, this is to deal with people who are really suffering emotionally with the effects of their work loss. And what it has is it has for free an area called stress management. And you just go there and it kind of walks you through some ways to help you not hurt yourself more. And I've had some really wonderful comments about that. You know, people said after they went through that, they really felt better. Another important point is that the book, Boomer Breakthrough, that is available through the website is $20. However, if you join the membership of United Boomers of America, which costs $20, you get the book for free.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, in effect, you know, you can say, well, I buy the book, I get the membership for free, or I get the membership and the book is free. Either way, it's $20 for a whole year. And I just posted on some websites that I was getting a lot of questions about people who didn't believe that the whole membership was $20 for the whole year. They asked me, was it $20 a month? And one of my advisors is the number two person in a large union in Michigan. And when I talked to him as we developed United Boomers of America, he said to me, people are really in tough shape. People don't have $20 a month, $240 a year. They don't have $240, no matter how much this information will help them. He said, if you make it $20 for the whole year, people will take that out of their cigarette budget, out of their beer budget, out of food. A $20 bill is something that they can afford to change their whole life, no matter how hard it is. And so really, the pricing for the membership was a function of what the, like I say, this officer of the union in Michigan said was good for his members. And so that's how we arrived at that, and we're going to keep it that way so that we can have millions of members instead of hundreds.
Well, I tell you, I think you're doing an absolutely phenomenal, phenomenally good work. I appreciate what you're doing. I think you're very knowledgeable on everything that you're talking about, and I wish you nothing but success. And you and I will contact each other here very shortly about some other things that we can do offline, as we discussed before the show. And I want to thank you once again for being with us on the Boomer Debate Show.
Thank you for everything you're doing for boomers also, Pete.
It's been a pleasure in getting to know you on the Boomer the Babe Show, and we're going to be back again tomorrow with our guest. Will be our guest host will be John Mayer, Episcopal priest of the Peace of the Valley Church here in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's going to have another guest coming along talking about religious aspects on our Exploring Faith show. So we always are enjoying doing that, and it's really catching on as well. So we want to thank Bill for joining us again today. You've been listening to the Boomer the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. We certainly brought some good conversation to you today, and we hope that you enjoyed it. Be with us tomorrow for Exploring Faith with John Mayer, and we'll be back again at 8 o'clock in the morning here in Phoenix, Arizona. And remember that we do much more than host this radio show on Blog Talk. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com. That's boomerandthebabe.com. See everything that makes up the Boomer the Babe Incorporated. And be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And we'll see you again tomorrow, everybody. Boomer the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as PetePeters47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.